Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please.
My girl is back. Oh, yeah, I have no body to myself.
Today's Old Testament reading and the Gospel reading share a theme in common. It is a theme of radical hospitality. In the Gospel, Jesus and his disciples, and it could be the 70, I hope not for Martha's sake, but it could be the 70 are in the mood. Jesus has just finished teaching about the Good Samaritan, who showed extravagant kindness to the unknown man in great need. Jesus and his disciples go to a village, we think it is Bethany, where Mary and Martha's sisters of Lazarus are living. Jesus knows he's always welcome in his home, for he thinks of this family as his good friends. The sisters are pleased to see him, and Martha sets about to take care of their physical needs, while Mary stays back to sit with Jesus. Honestly, it does not appear to be anything out of the ordinary. One goes to the kitchen to prepare the meal, while the other stays with their guests. Mary takes up the position of sitting at the feet of Jesus. In the Old Testament reading, Abraham rushes to greet and invite the three men into his tent. He sets about getting water to wash their feet and a place for them to rest. Once they're settled, Abraham rushes to the back of the tent to tell Sarah of their unexpected guests. He orders for her to use choice flour to make the cakes. He runs to get a calf, that's veal, that's expensive, tender and good, and gives it to the servants to prepare it. Quickly, a meal of milk and curds and a calf are served to the three men. Think about it. It took Abraham, Sarah, and one or maybe two servants to prepare the meal and hospitality for their guests. The passage takes great pains to describe the hospitality in detail. Hospitality goes above and beyond a mere welcome. It goes to great lengths to take care of its recipients. For sure, there were no inns or hotels in Abraham's day. The passage speaks of a tent, and most people would have had tents, especially when they're traveling long distances. People would depend on each other and take care of each other. I grew up in a time when we could be sure that family and friends were stopping very unexpectedly for a drink, especially on Sundays. Hospitality was an art form for my mother. She entertained people from all walks of life. Every Sunday after church, my home was a hive of activity as my mother prepared these elaborate feasts. A must was rice and peas, beef stew, we call it macaroni pie, they all call macaroni and cheese, baked chicken, a pork roast, potato salad, I'm sure there was something else I forgot. And this was all washed down by some ice cold sweet lemonade. Zamabi, y'all not familiar with that, some of us here are, or fruit punch. This was then followed with ice cream and jello with fruit, or cake or coconut bread. Guaranteed that you could not sit up straight after all that. I marveled at these productions. The preparations for these started on Saturday. Did you upset my little girl? Preparations for these started on Saturday when the meat was picked up from a neighbor who had just killed a pig. Yes, we did do that, and I think it still happens even to this day. Or we got it from the butcher. It was then washed with lime and salt, and then left with an array of seasonings to sit to marinate overnight. The house had to be spick and span. The next day the visitors arrived and much laughter could be heard throughout the house. These were the times we usually found out about the crazy uncle and hush of the children might hear. Any West Indian can attest to what I am relating. As children, we had to help my mother or suffer the harsh reality of the belt. It was not before long that I took a leading role in preparing these feasts, of course, under the sharp and critical eye of my mother. Sometimes I felt like Martha. Where is my sister? Most likely in her room lying down reading a book. Trust me, I was not a happy camper. Hospitality in biblical times was more than merely preparing meals. It was a time of bonding and relationship. Hospitality was a key component used by Jesus and his disciples to spread the word. People, persons were invited and welcomed into homes to share a meal and to hear the good news. It is no wonder that Martha is a little flustered when Jesus arrives with his disciples. Hospitality would therefore be a very overwhelming expectation. Martha finds it a challenge, especially when she realizes she's the only one in the kitchen and Mary is nowhere to be found. If she is expected to prepare the type of meal Abraham extended to his guests, she surely needed more help. It is no wonder she starts to panic. I do believe that we can all appreciate Martha's position. She runs to get Mary, only to see her sitting at the feet of Jesus, a coveted position which only men were given. Women were like property, and they had a place, and it certainly was not sitting at the feet of Jesus. What has drawn Mary to do this? It is as if she did not give a second thought to going with Martha. She simply went straight to Jesus. When Martha realizes that Mary is not coming to help her, as she grows more and more flustered, she goes to find Mary and sees her sitting at the feet of Jesus. Notice she does not address Mary, but rather she addresses Jesus. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. Does Martha feel that by appealing to Jesus, Mary would more obey him than her? Perhaps. I am sure Martha did not expect Jesus' response. Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Many are disturbed by this response. However, notice again, Jesus does not admonish Mary for not going to help. By calling Martha's name twice, Jesus gives her a pastoral and gentle rebuke. He almost appears to be reassuring her that it will all work out. I'm sure Martha did not see it that way. The story ends so abruptly that we do not know if Martha stopped what she was doing and went and sit at the feet of Jesus, or if she returned to the kitchen to hurriedly prepare the meal. Notice that Jesus did not stop Martha either. So what is our takeaway from this today? It was culturally appropriate for Martha to be in the kitchen, but so against the norms for Mary to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. So once again, we have Jesus doing something that is very radical, reassuring Mary and inviting her to remain where she is. I do not believe that Jesus was pitting one against the other, but simply saying that we need to be doing both positions. In the church, we need both mission and vision. Mission is what we do today, our ministries. Vision is what are our long-term goals. Where do we want this church to be in 2 years? In 5 years? In 10 years? One of our long-term goals ought to be returning this church to full parish status. In 2013, Christ Church became an aged parish. In order to reverse this, some will have to sit at the feet of Jesus, while others work behind the scenes to see the vision materialize. The two go hand in hand. When we sit at the feet of Jesus, we listen, we meditate, we pray, we read his word, we listen. This is how we obtain God's will for our future. This is how we see God's kingdom come near. In the background, we look at financial aspects. We conduct meetings. We hear what the church wants. How do we go about establishing this goal? Jesus did not admonish either sister for the positions they took up. Instead, he invited and encouraged Mary to remain where she was. Some days, we need to sit in the presence of Jesus, to hear his invitation and response to us all. For it is so easy for us to get worried and distracted with many things, which confuse the priorities in our lives. What are you worried and distracted with this morning? Besides the fact that you're looking to stop and so you can go to the store. What's bothering you? This weekend I found out a good friend had lost another family member. This is a total of 3 members in less than 6 months. How do we bear up under the weight of the trials we face? Jesus invites us to come, to sit at his feet and wait a while, to hear his calm voice of peace, and to feel his glorious touch of love as we battle life. Abraham and Sarah were going through their own struggle of infertility. Yet they continued to serve God and to serve the men of God. They must have known Sarah's heart, for they tell Abraham, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And just like that, Sarah became pregnant in her old age. "I will surely return to you in due season." Do you think what you are worried and distracted about will be taken away in due season? That you will find an answer in due season? When we're going through our struggles, it is hard to think that God knows what we're going through and yet still allow it to happen. We feel disconnected from God, but God sees our heart. He saw the hearts of Mary and Martha. He saw the heart of Abraham and Sarah. And if it be God's will that Christ Church returns to being a parish again, it will, and nothing can stop it.